know, the Lord's changed the service this morning. The Lord really wants to bless us today. So I think we're going to have some exciting things go on, probably even some miracles. So I want you to be in expectation of this. You've asked for it for how long? People have said, well, I want to see the move of God. I want to see the power of God. And it's like this morning, I believe, is that time for us. So I worked hard this morning and got a fresh message, but it'll keep until next week. So I do want to introduce and talk a little bit about my daughter and son-in-law. We're so very proud of them. You know, they bought a new place here a few years ago. They want it on the lake. But the thing is, all they ever do is entertain. You know, they bring people in and they spend the night or whatever, and they just entertain and they bless people. And they get all the toys just so they can take people around the lake and pull inner tubes. And there's so many people that don't know the Lord that they minister to. And so they're great ministers, and I'm just thankful that we have them here with us this morning, because I told her, I said, last time I was hoping you would come, and I said, I think the church was kind of disappointed that you didn't show up. And so after I told her that, they had birthday parties, or my wife and Sherry both had birthdays, and so we celebrated that. And Adam, her husband, he tries to keep up with everything and make everything happen. I don't know how he does it, but God is working through him to do that. He's a fireman. He's a fire chief or whatever. And so he's in control of a lot of things downstate. Big responsibilities. Well, he was called up to Grayling. He's been up there for, this is the 10th day you've been up here. Hasn't been home. So Sherry comes up here. We have a birthday party. They get a motel room here in Petoskey just so they can be here this morning. Whereas I would rather go home after 10 days or 9 days of this being the 10th day. Get me home, you know. But no, here they are. And they're here for us. They're here for us because she really felt that this is where they needed to be this morning. I told her last night, I said, Sherry, when you come, you're going to share. She said, I'm going to share. I said, yeah, you're going to share. I want to hear something, you know. And she said, oh, great, now I'm going to share. So anyway, when they left, she said this to me. We'll see you tomorrow and we'll do whatever you want. Now, for that's a hard surrender to the Lord. And I ask that today that we just kind of surrender our moods, our attitudes, and the things, thinking, well, okay, you preach and now you're, you know, we're doing something different. Let's just let God be God. Okay, folks, he knows what's best. And I really believe that he wants to bless us today. So we're going to have a good and exciting time this morning. Sherry's she's a school teacher downstate, does a wonderful job. And she told me this morning, I told her, I said, Sherry, you don't have to share. And she said, but God gave me something to share. And I'm like, and Charlene says to me, you shouldn't tell people things if you're not willing to come to do it. I'm like, okay, but sitting in here as we went through the song service and hearing testimonies and things, I'm saying, God, it's yours. You've changed it all, and I'm okay with it. So I ask you to just be prayerful, understanding. God wants to touch some people. gonna do it if we let it. We just need to learn how to surrender and just let God be God. Amen? And we'll be so blessed. So, with no further ado, Sherry, if you want to come up, share your heart with the people. I gotta set up close so I can keep quiet or shut her down after a couple hours.
I don't know, I keep changing things. So yes, I am a municipal list. We do live downstate. I do teach. I love teaching.
You need to talk louder.
Oh, sorry. I do teach. I love teaching. I'm passionate about it. I teach fifth graders, so if you remember what it was like to be a fifth grader or you know current fifth graders, it is not the same as it used to be. So I pretty much have to stand on my head and like there always has to be something going on. So I act out a lot of my lessons, like literally I act out, you know, we're like sailing across the ocean because we're learning currently about like the American Revolution. So I'm lining them up, they're soldiers, they're fighting each other. They're learning just these different things. So I'm kind of making like the curriculum come to life. But in that, I've developed these amazing relationships. So I don't know, I think God is gonna take me in different directions. But at first, I felt like I was supposed to tell you about you know, like there's two main commandments. The first one is love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. And then the second one is love your neighbor as yourself. And I felt like at first I was supposed to tell you that, and I'll tell you parts of that, but I think I'm supposed to go in a different direction now. But I have these neighbors that live next to me. And so today I want to say that I was just so I think excited to hear how you guys love each other. Like I heard you say, you know, like you came and helped me with my phone. I couldn't get it charging. You came in through the ice and you helped me. And so I hear in your hearts that you guys are these amazing people. And I know my parents have told me, and just my dad gets so excited, and my mom too, when they talk about you. They talk about you all the time. If you didn't know that, they do. You guys are almost like their family members. It's like you're their kids. You know, they say, like, you're never going to guess what happened. Like, we did this jar, and everyone put money in, and you had no idea how much money there was, and you took it to this person, and it happened to be just exactly what they needed. Or, like, I hear your stories, and they're just so excited. So I feel like, at first, I just want to tell you, almost like, and I don't want to say like Paul, but when you read in the Bible, like, he went to different places, and he was excited about some of the places he visited, and he said, you are doing God's work, and you're doing these amazing things, and I'm so proud of you. You know, I'm telling others, like, do the work that they're doing, and I feel like you're those people. You know, like, you're doing the work that God is calling you to do, and you have these open hearts, and you're like, God, I want more, and where can you use me next? So I'm not here to tell you how to love on people, because I think you do that. I do want to encourage you, though, that there are those things to do and to take care of each other within the church. And like Adam and I do that. We belong to a small group ourselves and we go and fix things for people or give them money if they need it or I don't even know, have them over to the house or like whatever it is that God tells us to do. We do those things. But one of the most amazing things I think that God has done with, at least through me this last year, is our next door neighbor. They have, like, so much has happened to them. She lost her son this year. Her sister died. Her husband now is sick. And, but I had developed a relationship with them before that. But in this last year especially, I would just talk to God. And he tells me things, and he tells you the same thing. It's the Holy Spirit. And he'll say, text Rita and see if she wants food. And so I'll text her and I'll say, go into Bourbon's, do you want that fried chicken you like? And she's like, oh my gosh, I want that fried chicken, yes, go pick it up for me. So I will go into the restaurant, I will get the fried chicken that they like, I will drop it off. Sometimes they're not feeling well or enough or they don't want company, I don't care. It doesn't matter to me, I just did what God told me to do. So I literally will put on her doorstep, I'll text her, chicken's on your doorstep, love you, thinking of you. Off to our house I go, I don't think anything of it. Hey, I'm going to the crust, picking up bread. You want some bread today? Yep, drop it on her doorstep. Now we've gotten closer, and her husband has had to go to the hospital a couple times. One night, it was like 4:30 in the morning. She said, can you get over here right now? Yeah, absolutely. Throw my sweatpants, brush my teeth, go flying over there. She's waiting for the ambulance to come, and she says, I don't want to be by myself. Will you please just be here with us? Yeah, absolutely. I'm in there, in their bedroom, right? I'm, you know, waiting for the ambulance together. They come, we pray together. So the thing I want to encourage you in is that just look for like those things and literally look for your neighbor. When God says love your neighbor as yourself, I think he literally means the things that he says in the Bible. I don't think it's like a figurative thing. I think it means if you live next door to someone and they need something, or God like puts that little like poke in your heart, like do this or do that, I think do it. And you don't have to like preach at them. There have been many times that I've said a little something, and then there have been times when I've said nothing at all about Jesus. But they know I love Jesus. They know that it's Jesus who works through me, because her husband has said, I know you love me. How is it that you love me? And I said, I don't know. I just think you're super cool. Like, I just love you. And he's like, I just don't understand. And so it is just the love of God that's loving them. And I even said that to him. I said, it's just Jesus. And he goes, I know, but I know that you like really, really, really love me. And he can't get past that. And so he was an agnostic. He even said so. And he said, but I'm starting to believe that there, you know, I'm starting to want to know more about God. So I took him a Bible. He couldn't find it. He was digging through the basement, couldn't find it. I brought him one over there. He said he started reading it. And so just, it was like those baby steps. So I just want to encourage you in that. You guys are doing amazing with others, but also if God calls you to maybe do something literally with your neighbor, do it, because it's the little things, and it does take a long time. But even yesterday on my way out to go get Adam, she was outside unloading her car, and I pulled in and I ran up and I ran into her garage, wrapped my arms around her, and I said, I miss you, I love you, because I haven't seen her all week. We've texted, but I haven't seen her. And she said, oh my gosh, I love you too. And so we visited really quick. I said, how's Doug doing? She's like, it's not good. And I said, that's okay. Like, I'm still praying. She goes, I know. And we talked about Easter. I can't come up here for Easter. She doesn't have anything going. So I said, hey, can we do Easter? And she was like, oh my gosh, yes. Do you want to do Easter together? Yes, I do. And she cooks amazing. Like, hello, why would I want to go to her house for Easter? So we're going over for Easter, you know? Like, it's just like, just do those little things. So I just want to encourage you in that. Now I want to switch gears. Can I talk about healing? Okay. So God has done this amazing thing. I don't know how he chose me, but he has. And it's awesome. Years ago, I got it in my head because I was reading the Bible, and I literally take it as it says. Like, it's so literal. And it says in there that you'll be able to heal the sick, cast out demons. You know, like, these things will happen. And I just was reading it, and I said, God, I want to do that. Like, I want to be able to, like, lay my hands on someone, and I want to see you heal them. How does that happen? So I found books, and I read books on it. I just read through the Bible. Like, I kept reading all the Gospels. So I was reading Matthew, Mark, Luke over and over and over, because if you read that, you see what Jesus did specifically. And you get to see it through the different eyes of the disciples. And then I moved into Acts. So then Acts ends up being, it's Jesus is gone, but now you have his disciples who carry that on. And I mean, they even had amazing things where they didn't have to touch them. You know, Peter, his shadow could fall on someone and they could be healed. Or, you know, whatever it was. And I thought, like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. Like, this has to be for now too, because I know, like, we're out of the Old Testament. We need the Old Testament, but we're now living in the New Testament. Well, if like Peter and James and John and Paul and like, if these people can heal, like find healing, how like can't we still do it today? And you see those people, you know, you hear of the evangelist or the other people. And so I just kept pestering God over and over and over. So we went on a missions trip. My husband and I took our kids, and the four of us went to the Dominican Republic on a missions trip. Amazing. And I kept talking to people, laying hands on them, saw nothing. Absolutely nothing. I was like, oh! So I would go back at night, and I would just like spend time with God, and I was like, Lord, I don't understand. Like, you said in your word, you know, like, if we lay hands on the sick, they're supposed to recover. So I don't know. I don't get it. I don't know what I'm missing. I don't understand what you're doing. Like, please, dude. Like, I just don't get it. And I'm praying. And then it was maybe, oh, I wish I had my journal. I kept it in a journal. Was it maybe the fourth day of our trip? I think we're there like 7 days. I think it was like the fourth day of our trip. We had a devotional every day. It was just part of, we went with a missions team. I think there were, I don't know, 100 of us or something that were together just from our church. It was a huge group of us because we went with something called, was it Mission to Me, but what were we called? One Day, One...
Oh, One Nation, One Day.
One Nation, One Day. That's what we were part of. And so I'm reading this devotional, and it just speaks to me, and I went, oh my gosh. And so basically the gist was, God downloaded this thing. He said, tell them something that will then, like, increase their faith. And that's what you need to do. Now, what I know about God, and I'm sure what you know about God, is that he does things differently for different people. Like, he's not a formula kind of guy, which is good. Like, I don't really want a God that's a God of formulas. Because what happens if you did the formula wrong? Or what happens if, I don't know, I don't think there's maybe as much faith in that. If it's just a simple, do X, Y, Z, and then W turns out or whatever. You know, like, it just... I don't know. I'm going to be honest. Sometimes I'm annoyed that it's not just a formula because I'm like, I don't get it. Like, please just help me. But at the same time, it was so nice. So he gave me that. We went out that day, and our job was to go out and just out into the streets and to homes and stuff. And we would say, come out to the wherever, the park or whatever. We're putting on a special service. Come see us. And, you know, they saw these crazy Americans. They were kind of all intrigued, you know, like, what are these crazy Americans doing? Maybe we want to turn out. There was a lady on the porch. I think she was just sitting in her chair. I don't think she had a wheelchair. I think she was just sitting in her chair on the porch, and we asked her to come. And she said, we had a translator, and she told the translator, I can't come. I can't walk. I'd love to go, but I can't come. And so I said, well, ask her if I can pray for her. And she's like, sure. And she's sitting there, and we find out later she had rheumatoid arthritis. And her legs, she was this little teeny tiny lady, she was the cutest thing ever, but her legs were enormous. Like, they were big, and they were all, like, knotted, and, I don't know, looked like a tree trunk. Like, it was just this knotted, gnarly, whatever, like, ugly legs. Sorry, I'm sorry, but it's true. So she, I said, can we pray for you? And she said, yeah, absolutely. So we're laying our hands on, I have my eyes closed. I am just praying what I feel like I'm supposed to pray, and I am trying to pray, and meanwhile, one of the people in our group, she keeps tapping me on the shoulder. She's like, tapping, and I'm thinking, like, I'm praying for this lady. Stop tapping me. Like, I don't know what your problem is. Tapping, 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 tapping. She's like, open your eyes. And so I was thinking, like, why do I have to open my eyes? So I opened my eyes. Sure enough, these ladies, we watched her legs. They went, and they were, like, smooth, little tiny chicken legs, and we're all like, and they go, I know, I told you to open your eyes. And I was like, oh my God. So this lady starts crying, and we ask her, do you want to stand up? Yeah. We said, okay, we'll try to walk. She walks, and she's in this little tiny house. Her house is probably the size of just this area right here. So she walks from here to maybe the door, and she's kind of slow at first. I think you were there. Were you there with us? And she walks kind of slow, and then pretty soon, like, she's standing up, and she's able to, like, walk on her own. Because she would have to pay someone every day to, like, go to the store and bring her things like milk or whatever she needed because she couldn't get there. She had to rely on people. Amazing. Oh, my gosh. Then I'm on fire. I'm like, whoa, that's what I need to pray for. Like, it was amazing. So prayed for a ton of people after that, on that trip. I never did. There were a couple things I wanted to see, and I have not yet, but I'm going to. I want to see someone, like, that doesn't have their arm. I want to see it go and come back up. Or I want to see, like, a leg, or, like, I want to see it, right? Like, I want to see limbs regrow. I have not seen that, but I've seen some pretty crazy things. So the trip goes on. We see, like, deaf ears. I don't know if he was deaf. He was a boxer, and something had happened to his ears or whatever. His hearing came back, someone's vision. Like, it was crazy, the stuff that happened. And it even happened in my own family. So Adam had... Like, we did other outreach things, too. So he went with the guys, and they went and played baseball, right? Do you want to tell me a part of the story? But they went and played baseball, and he was playing, and what the heck did you snap or break?
My calf.
Your calf?
Separated calf muscle.
Okay. So he separated the calf muscle. So I come out, because the girls all, we had a different task to go do. I think it was, like, midnight. I come home. He's in bed, and I was like, what the heck? And someone said, you've got to go see him. And he said, what do you mean I have to go see him? So I went, sure enough, his calf muscle is no longer attached. So it's, like, hanging down here. It's not up here where it's supposed to be. And I was like, uh-oh. Like, what are we going to do with that? He's in horrible pain. I have great insurance, but it's not going to work in the Dominican. Like, what am I going to do? Like, where am I going to take him? Hi, I don't really know what you do. We're out in the, like, we were in a city, but it wasn't, I mean, it's not the same medical, right? I'm thinking, like, don't want him, them to try to attach his calf or whatever's going on. Probably not in the Dominican. So I said, that's it. God has been doing this stuff. We're praying. Sit up. So he, like, sits up in bed, excruciating pain. We just start praying. And praying and praying and praying. And then you, I think I had you stand up. And it was a little better, but still not, like, completely healed. We prayed, and I said, well, we just have to trust God. We're going to bed. So we went to bed. We had to get up the next morning. We walked a ton on this trip. And he had to carry things like a dentist chair, like, through the airport and other places. And I was like, well, you got to have your leg healed. I don't know how you're going to carry this big old dentist chair with your leg all bummed out. So he, the next day we go, and we, I don't know how many miles we walked, but as you went and you did it, God completely restored. We never went to the doctor. We never did anything. God just, like, reattached his calf thing, whatever it was. He just reattached it. So we've seen, like, these amazing things. And even since we've gotten home, same thing. My son was playing ice hockey, I think it was like a month ago, and he ripped something in his shoulder, like, is this rotator cuff? Okay. Rotator cuff, totally, I don't know, popped out. He was like, I don't know, I thought he was going to throw up. He's just on the floor, and he's like, I don't know, but, you know, like, he looks green. Like, he looks terrible. And I said, well, you want to pray? Because all his buddies are there. You want to pray? And he goes, yeah. So he's on the floor. We start praying. He's not really getting anything. And I think it's just because there's too many people at our house. So I said, come with me. So we went in the back, in, like, the spare bedroom. And I said, well, it's up to you. Because sometimes you have to make a choice. And so for Liam, I said, you know I have amazing insurance. This is going to cost me no money at all. So if you want, I'll call you an ambulance, because that's faster than sitting in the ER. I'll call you an ambulance. They can be here in a few minutes. You can go, and you can have them, like, do surgery or whatever they're going to do. Or we can pray, and Jesus can heal you. But it's up to you. Which one do you want? And he said, well, I don't like needles. It's going to take forever for, like, this whatever. I got things going on. I think I want Jesus. Okay. All right. So, which is terrible to say, sorry, but I mean, but you do have to have a choice. I just said, for you, it really is no big deal. Because the doctors can fix it. There are doctors, and doctors do amazing things. So, really, it doesn't matter. I said, you just have to pick. So, we started praying, and it hurt so bad. Like, he couldn't move his arm up at all. He couldn't even go this high. Excruciating. So, we prayed a couple times. And then he can lift it a little bit, but it's not still there. We pray some more. He can go a little higher. We pray some more. We probably spent, I don't know, a few minutes. And by the end, he had his arm up, and he's rotating. And so we went back out. God totally set him free. And I said, all right, boys, you're going back on the ice? You're playing hockey? Like, what are you doing? And they're like, no, we're going to go watch the fight. And I said, okay, fine. Off you go. So they went. He was going to do jiu-jitsu, but decided that probably was a bad idea. And I said, I don't care. If you want to throw each other down, your arm is fine. Jesus fixed it. And so we, like, it's something I practice, or we practice, you know, like, at our house or whatever. So we have lots of testimonies of, like, my kids being healed or my husband being healed. God even healed me. I know one of you talked about a blood clot. I had a condition, I never remember what it is. U of M, we argue all the time. They make me still go see a blood doctor, a hematologist. And I go, actually, because I like the doctor and I like the her nurse practitioner, we're kind of buddies. And so we just visit the whole time. They say, I don't know. And I said, I love you guys. I just want to come and see you. I told you Jesus healed me, but if you want to see me and I can tell you about Jesus, I'll come. So every few months I go and I tell them, yep, I'm still healed, told you. And let's talk about Jesus. So it doesn't matter to me. So so I did have this blood condition, and I also had gotten a blood clot. I had gotten one in my liver. Oh, thank you. I got a blood clot in my liver. I was in the hospital for like 5 or 6 days. It was bad, really, really bad. So I understand what you mean when you talk about, like, hurting. Oh, there's nothing like that. Like, it hurts so bad, and I couldn't eat or drink or do anything. And but God has set me free. I no longer have the condition. I don't even worry about it. I don't take medicine. I also was on heavy, like, blood thinners. I had to do shots in my stomach twice a day, and then I also was on Coumadin. Hey, Coumadin. Coumadin is the worst if some of you are on it. So sorry for you. Because you also have to watch what you eat. You know, like, you have to eat the same kinds of things. Like, well, you didn't eat enough greens today, so we have to adjust your dose. You didn't, and I was always having to, like, give blood or get my finger poked. So I don't do any of that stuff anymore. I don't take any medication. I don't anything. Jesus set me free. And I know because U of M still makes me do labs, and all of my labs are still amazing. So I guess I just wanted to say that, just encourage you that God does heal. He does see you. He does listen to us. And I don't know. Do you have anything? Sorry. I could talk all the time. I'm a teacher because I remember I can talk and tell stories. He's like, get off the stage.
And you thought I was radical, right? But it runs in the family. And everything she says, you know, has said and experienced, you know, it's true, and God does work. And so I pray that this built you up and gave you some hope. Folks, that's the direction we're going. I believe that's the direction God is taking this. You know, we're going to make a difference in the world. We're going to use God's word and speak God's word. We're going to depend and have faith in what God said and what he does through us. So I want to read this scripture to you if I could. It's Psalms chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. Psalms 5, verses 11 and 12. And 12. I found the Lord gave me this verse for Sherry, and I wrote it in her Christmas, or her birthday card rather. And I don't think she really knew what I was trying to say or what the Lord was meaning by it. So I'll share it with you and maybe she'll understand. Verse 11 now, it says, but let all those who rejoice, that is, who put their trust in you, Lord, let them ever shout for joy, because you defend them, lest those also who love your name, or let those also who love your name be joyful in you. Verse 12, for you, O Lord, will bless the righteous. Who's righteous? Folks, y'all know that we're righteous. If you have Jesus, you're righteous because of what Jesus did, not because of our bonehead ideas and mistakes sometimes, right? We are righteous in Christ Jesus because of what he's done. And it says, so for you, O Lord, will bless the righteous, that's us, with favor. You will surround him with a shield. So we're surrounded with favor by God. Folks, that means a lot, to be favored by God. And so those of you that may need a healing or a touch from God this morning, you have a loved one that you want prayer for. Folks, I want to open this time. Sherry has the gift of healing, and there's other gifts here, and so I wanted to just take this time to just allow God to bless us. You know, this gift from God, all that he wants to give us, he doesn't want us sick, he doesn't want us hurting, but he wants us blessed. You know, with me, years ago, when I needed a kidney transplant, and they wasn't giving me hope down at the hospital. Oh, it might be 5 years before we find a donor. And by that time, you'll be on dialysis 3 or 4 times a week, and on and on again. And I'm like, gee, Lord, just shoot me now, you know? And then Sherry jumps up, and of course, all the kids are saying, well, we'll donate. And of course, the school teacher, you know how radical Sherry is, she says, I am giving the kidney. So I've got good insurance. But the school, I can be off as long as it takes, and I still get paid, and the insurance covers me, and we're good to go. And we didn't even know if she's a match. Well, then she went through all the tests, and yeah, perfect match. Perfect match. And then she said, well, we're going to have it done before Thanksgiving. And this was this October, and then in November, they did it. Well, she said, we're going to have it before Thanksgiving. And the doctor said, no way. That's impossible. I said, no, we won't. And so anyway, they went through. Sure enough, we had the operation before Thanksgiving. And of course, at the same time, she wanted to give her liver to a relative, Adam's cousin, yeah, who had a liver failure. And of course, she wanted to do, well, while you're in there, just do both. You know, take a kidney and take some liver. You know, anybody else need anything? No, and Adam stepped in and said, Sherry, let's think about this. You've done something like this. But see, that's a heart to minister, to touch, to help people. And so I got a kidney, and the doctors are telling me that this kidney is terrific. He says it really operates better than a normal kidney, you know. But when they seen it and took it from her, it was just a little thing. And but it does the job of a big one, let me tell you, of two of them. Because the doctors are always telling us, man, your kidney's good, you know, every time I go in for a checkup. And why wouldn't it be good? You know, it came from a real anointed person as well. But anyway, I just want to continue to share with you so you know that folks, God cares. And I want to know, in fact, God wants to know, what do you want to do this morning? You know, I know how a lot of people they're really searching for a healing. They're trying hard. Lord, what do I need to do? I'm praying. I'm doing this. God, what else do I need to do? You know, fasting for their healing, and it seems like nothing happens. You know what God wants us to do? He wants us just to surrender. God, I'm yours. You know what I need, and I know you want me healed. So, Lord, I just surrender. I surrender this healing that I need. I surrender to you. Lord, you have your way with me. It's all about you. And so, Lord, I just receive whatever it is you want me to have. And folks, that's when you get it. We work so hard, we try to make things happen. We have our own agendas. Like she talked about her neighbor. She hasn't, you know, she didn't have an agenda where she's trying to cram Jesus down her throat. All she did was love him. Once in a while, share Jesus. And we've been talking about this for, you know, about a couple of weeks and stuff. We do the homeless ministry. You know what she did with the homeless ministry? I'm like, God, do something with this girl. We're going down there, and here's this young kid who looks like he looked bad. They're laying out in the sun on the street. And the sun's beating down, and this guy's burning up. You can see it. He's all red, the face, and everything. He's trying to cool down, and she says, are you all right? And he says, I don't know, man. Feel kind of bad. You're a little hot. And she says, can I give you anything? Did he say he wanted a popsicle?
No, he wanted lemonade. And I said, well, what kind of lemonade do you want? And he said, strawberry. And I said, all right, I'll work on that. How about a popsicle, too? Are you? You look hot. And he said, well, a popsicle would be great. I said, I'll be right back. Don't move. I'll be right back.
Yeah, well, he didn't move. She comes back. What'd you buy, 80 popsicles?
Yeah, I don't know.
Because there's a lot of homeless there, so I mean, they're passing them out to people. So here they come in with a whole armload of popsicles and lemonades and all this. I'm like, holy shit. just give up water. So anyway, but see, that's how God is. We ask, oh God, just give me this. And God says, oh, come on, let me do more than that. Doesn't the word say that it is far above more than we can even ask or think? See, that's our God. And that's where we're at this morning. What do you want? What do you need? What is it you want God to touch you with this morning? Are you willing to surrender that? Are you willing to just give it to the Lord and say, Lord, take me. I'm yours. Do what you want with me. And I thank you. Are you ready for that? Joyce, would you come? Joyce is going to play some music. And for those of you that need a touch from God, I'd like for you to come up. And I think if you don't want to stand, you can sit right there if you need to. And Sherry and I are going to pray with you. I'm going to just assist her. And you can help and receive what God wants to give you. It's open up to you. God's going to do this. So let's talk to you.
Can I talk about a couple more things?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's messy. I did want to just encourage you too. So, like, whatever you have, I've seen tons of, like, even back things healed. It's amazing. One of my biggest, probably, I don't know, people I got to pray for, this man had fallen while he was a kid. He was like probably 23. He'd fallen 60 feet out of a tree. It had severed his hand, like it was only hanging off of his skin. He had broken his back in kind of how many places. I can't remember all the things, but there were lots of things wrong with him. And I said, hey, I saw him like hobbling around. He had like this cane at church and he just looked miserable. And I said, hey, can I pray for you? He goes, whatever. I guess so. I don't care. Just pray, whatever. So I started to pray and nothing happened. I said, look, do you want that and like fix something or don't you? Like he won't if he doesn't want to, because that's what I know about God. He never pushes himself on you. He just doesn't. He's loving and he's always there and ready to like do anything for us because he's the best dad ever. So I mean, even my own kids, like if I can give them things or do something for them, I'm all in. You know, like, what do you need? How can I help you? Can I just kiss you today? Can I just love on you? Can I, you know, like, what do you need? I'll do anything for you. Well, God is even more so with us, you know, like, he just wants to lavish his love on us. So I started praying for this guy, and I said, tell me one thing. If something was healed right now, what would it be? And he said, well, I'm just in constant pain. It's always at least an 8. And I said, all right. Well, can I pray for you? And he said, okay, I guess so. Laid hands on his back, prayed, I think, 2 or 3 times, and he went, and I said, what? What's the matter? And he said, that doesn't hurt. And I said, okay. So he kind of stood up, and I said, well, do you want something else? Like, what's your next thing? And he said, well, they put my hand back together, but when I move it, it moves weird, and I don't have, like, feeling fully in my fingers and stuff. Like, it just is weird. Can you pray for that? And I said, sure. So we prayed for his hand, and he goes, I have feeling, and look, it moves the way it's supposed to. And I said, yeah. What else do you want? He's like, well, my leg, da da da. And I said, okay, give me your cane. So I'm holding his cane, praying for his leg, and I said, well, try to walk. And he's walking, and then I said, oh, wait, do you need your cane? He's like, no, I sure don't. And so we just kept working through all the different parts that have been broken or severed or whatever it was. And I saw him, I think, 2 weeks later in church, because he would come with his parents. And I said, how is it? He said, I have a clean bill of health. He's like, I can drive again. I don't hurt. Like, it's these amazing things. Another time I prayed for this kid, I think he was like 16. He had broken his back in football. He could never lay flat at night. He was always in so much pain, but he could not lay. He had to like sit up. And I said, oh my gosh, Abe, like that can't be it. He said, well, let's pray. So I prayed for him and I said, do something he couldn't do. He lays right on the floor. I said, well, he goes, oh my gosh, he doesn't hurt. And I said, okay, great, stand up. And so just these amazing things, like God loves you, and just that simple. It's not anything big. So, I mean, I would say if you have pain, if you have something in your back, if you have arthritis, if you, like, and start small. Sometimes you just need that little, just a little something that kind of, like, whets your faith, you know? Like, think about a kid, you know what I mean? Like, they're just not sure, and then they try the thing, and then they're like, oh my gosh, I love this. It's kind of like that with us. Like, God is okay with you taking baby steps. He's okay if you can't immediately, like some of the people in the Bible, because I didn't immediately do those things myself, you know, like get sight or get, you know, something big. God's okay with, I don't know, my knee really hurts right now.
Okay. Pray for Heidi. She's got the
shoulder. Oh. You may not want to do it in front of everyone. You might have like an obstacle.
And then, like, my foot, my butt is so bad. I broke my butt and my feet and my shoulder. And I'm more of like structural issues.
Okay. Yeah, hyperfasciitis. I have to pray for somebody. Right, it's different, but even if it's somebody's hyperfasciitis, like, I have to pray for somebody for that once, too. And that was really cool. She was like, oh my gosh, my foot doesn't hurt. So, okay.
There, Cameron, please heal him. I want to let you go because I know we need to go downstairs, but for those that need healing, I would ask you to stay. And would you please be conscious here? The Lord is wanting to work, and we don't want to do anything to disturb the anointing, the rule of God. So if you have a need, please stay. Oh.